One of the aspects of it is the Holy Spirit has been given to us as the earnest of our inheritance. And I'll go over some of these verses just to lead us up to today's message. The wonderful inheritance of the Lord given to us, that we might come into the practice of it and the glory of it before we ever leave this earth, because we will come into the fullness of it when we're in heaven. But while we're on earth, we are given to come into that inheritance and enjoy many things of it. We looked at the process of development, how we can be heirs of the whole estate and yet as children, like Paul said, we're still under tutors and governors. But then the day comes when we develop and we come into the fullness of that inheritance which the Lord has given unto us. But there's a portion of it that we come into here on earth, and for that part, it was the Holy Spirit was given to us as an earnest, as the down payment of our inheritance. And He's the one that's going to not only bring it forth and make us know about it and make us understand it, but also possess it. And we come into the possessing of it. And like all things in God, there are processes. We make doctrines out of it and then either file it or have it as an experience. It's the experience of baptism and the experience of believing and the experience of raising your hand and the experience of being healed or the experience of whatever. And once we get it down to an experience, we've got it down to a moment in time. We've got it down to an actual happening. And then it's very easy to put into a formula that you give everybody else and doesn't work. But God doesn't work with formulas. He doesn't work with points in time or experiences. But God works in processes. And we experience these processes. And He can reverse them on us. Some people, to the dismay of some doctrine fanatics, fills people with the Spirit before they're baptized in water. And that just sends all their screws in their head bouncing around one place to another, and they're still trying to find how it can be. But I'm going to let their screws bounce around. I'm just going to accept that God can do what He wants to, and that it's all a process. And if we figured out the formula not quite right, it might just be. Might just be. This is just the slightest thought I want, a doubt I want to introduce into your mind, that we could be wrong. Not too often, but once in a while, that can be. God, on the other hand, has no loose screws. That might amaze you. He does all things well and orderly. And His order isn't necessarily our order. His way isn't necessarily our way. But He has given us the earnest of our inheritance in the Holy Spirit and sealed us by the Spirit of promise. So I will be reading to you now from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter 21. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. And now from chapter 5, verse 5, now He that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Not a Spirit, the Spirit. There's only one the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. 14th verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. And in Acts 1, 2:18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days my Spirit. My Spirit. Now, I'll read the last part of that verse later on, not now. And He said unto them in Acts 19:2, have ye received the Holy Ghost when ye believe? That was Paul. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Not for what, unto what? looking forward to what? What came after that? And they said, only unto John's baptism. It ended there. It's the only reason why we were baptized, to take us to repentance. You mean it didn't take you to the Holy Ghost? No, it took us to repent. Well, they had repented. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come afterwards, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the baptism of John was unto repentance. The baptism of Paul was unto Jesus. In other words, it didn't end with the water washing their body. It went on beyond that. It was a repentance unto the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving of the Holy Ghost that should come then upon them. And so this was given in the Old Testament in types and symbols, and then in the New Testament in the gospel that was preached to them in reality. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us in measure, not like unto Christ in full measure or without measure, but he's given to us in measure. Now the Holy Spirit is given to us as the earnest, as the down payment, as a sign that our inheritance is good, and we can start to possess it through the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, we can't come into any portion of it. The things that are of the Spirit are of the Spirit. The things that are of the flesh are of the flesh. And flesh cannot inherit the things that are of the Spirit. We cannot come into the things that are of the Spirit. We can't even inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't. But the new creation, the new being that God created, as we saw before, can and will. And so when the Holy Spirit is given to us, he is given to us to rule. He's given to us to be with us, to be in us, and to come upon us. To be with us, come in us, and come upon us. Now, I don't want you to think of those specific things and write down a formula. With, in, on. I just want you to see that there are three different aspects, three different ways of how he works this actually in our life. And like I said before, he could put one before the other or one after the other. I don't know. All I know is that if you study it carefully, there is a plan and there is a purpose and there is an order of God. Now, this order is going to be broken this morning. Not the order of God, the order in which we give this. Because I would have liked to start with the foundations, build a building, and then put the roof on it. Today we're going to put the roof on it, then we're going to raise the walls, and then we're going to lay the foundation. I don't know why we're going to do that. I normally don't, but today I plan to. So we're going to take the part of the Holy Spirit with us, and we're going to put it on a shelf for a few more days later. We're going to take the Holy Spirit in us, all which form the base for the Holy Spirit on us. But because the Lord introduced the theme on Thursday, and either I was 3 days late, or he came 3 days early, or this is the way he wants it. But either way, I'm flexible. Lately, you get in trouble when you're not. Okay, so we're going to leave the with us and in us, and here goes the notes. And now we're going to get into upon us. But just remember, the other two are there, and they're there to prepare us. And I'll just say this about that part so that we don't lose sight of the whole. When the Holy Spirit is given to us as an earnest of our inheritance, he works the things that must be worked in us that we might be capable of what comes later, of this that we will look at. He prepares us as the vessel, and he protects us as the vessel. He starts through childhood, through the embryo process, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and takes us all the way through to development, takes us all the way to Christ, and when we are in Christ, we are endued with power. Now, this power is given to us twofold. One is for the power of overcoming and living in this world an overcomer's life. And then on the other side is given to us, that power is given to us to reach out to others. Now, you can talk to anybody about Christ you want to, but it's another thing to be sent forth and empowered from above by the Holy Ghost which is on you. Now, part of that inheritance that is given to us by God will end up with your life being used as an instrument of God to bring blessing and to bring Christ to others. Hear what I just said to you. part of this inheritance that God has for us. I didn't say me, I didn't say Bobby, I said us. And that doesn't just include Sammy, Steve, and a few others here. That says you. Because we have this idea that God called certain people from the womb to be ministers. God called Paul from the womb of his mother just like he called us. The callings are the same. The purposes of God are specific for every life. God's plan, what he will do, a lot of it has to do with who you are, what you're made out of, the genetic structure, a lot of things. You won't be me, I can't be you. But one thing God does have is a plan for you. And that plan will include your life being used by God and for God to the blessing of other people other than yourself and your immediate family. That is in your calling. We are called under Christ. Our calling is under the Lord himself, 1 Corinthians 1:9. We are called under the Lord. And we are called into his fellowship. We are called into his communion. We are called into his love. We are called to be a bride. But then as a mother, we are given to bring forth fruit. Now, all I'm going to say today is that there comes a time where we are given the Holy Spirit on the part of God to empower us for that. And the Holy Ghost was not given to a few, it was given to many. And when the Holy Ghost came upon them, something different began to happen. The Holy Ghost came upon them that they might be able to work the gifts that His Spirit was giving unto them, not for themselves only, but for the edifying of the body. Now let him stretch your mind a bit. Because our idea is God calls just a few. He puts them on the platform. The rest of us are sheep. God has called all of us. And will use all of our life. And as you develop and as you come into that plan which God has for you, in that plan you will find God using your life. You say, well, we tried that. That's where we started. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe it's this embryo trying to be out there converting the world. It can't even talk, let alone know what it's talking about. Let it develop. Let it mature. Let it come under sonship. And we will look at all that later. But now, I'm just giving you more than you can hold. And you say, well, I don't understand this. If you'll just give us time in a few weeks, you'll understand it. It's given to you to understand, but just let me go on here. Now we're going to look at the Spirit of the Lord upon us. Luke 11:11, I'm going to read to you several verses here, so again, just listen. If a son, now that isn't an embryo, that isn't a baby, that isn't a child, that is a son. Now we looked at all this in one of the steps of the inheritance. If you don't have it, go back to it. Is the difference Paul is speaking about when a child and then when a son, and the maturity and what that means. But if a son asks for bread, let's see. If a son asks for bread of any of you, that is, of the father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? If then we, or it says like this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall you Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. In context, who are the them that ask Him? A son. If a son ask Him. So first of all, I want you to see that the descending of the Holy Spirit is related to people having a desire for it, and the desire comes when you're older. It's like when you're a little boy. And they put you to play with all these girls. Ah, yuck, girls. Give him 5 more years anymore. And it's, oh, girls. The only thing that happened there is a little bit of development. A few hormones floating through the air connected. And you see suddenly what they weren't interested at all on, now they had a desire for. Now if a son asks for the Holy Ghost. So first of all, there's the desire for it, and he satisfied the desire of every living thing. The desire was in the heart. There was the asking. They used to make a great deal in the days of Pentecost, the beginning of the century, about asking for the promise of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit coming upon you was definitely sought for. Now, in our modern days, we corrected that. And we said you didn't have to seek for it. You don't even have to ask for it. You just receive it. Now, how we got there, I don't know, but what we received certainly wasn't what they got back there at Pentecost. And if you're happy with it, have at it. But if you're not, go back. We're in an age where it's take it or leave it, receive it and live it. But we're not on one of these, bust your knees, seek it through, pray through, bust heaven open, fight through demonic powers and get to heaven and get what you want. But as we grow, there is a developing in our heart and desires arise and we begin to ask. You need to ask. And it's a mighty thing that comes from God. It is a mighty blessing. It is a mighty experience or multiple experience that come out of that the rest of your life as we are being filled of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit comes upon us and then there is an endowment of power. You say, well, that's for Smith Wigglesworth. That's for other people that work in the power. We are given the same Spirit. The same Spirit is waiting to come upon us, waiting for us to ask, waiting for something to happen inside where you grow up enough where you say, God, that's wonderful. Look at all this guy has. I'd like some of what he's got. Lord, how come he takes all the blessings? I'd like some too. It's like those people that hear our tapes and they sit there weeping and crying and say, God, why can't we have that? Wrapped in a little Christmas present, put in a cassette and say, God, we want this. How come they have it? Well, this isn't the only place it is. But their heart's beginning to cry out. And I'll tell you, when their heart cries out, he's going to give them that. What you have, they're going to get. Because there's a hunger in the world. They are seeking. They are asking. They're growing up. They're saying, money. It can buy things. It can do things. It's not so lousy as I thought when I was a little kid. I don't really care about money. Oh, when they see what it can buy and they start with their gum and their whatever, then now money becomes more of interest. When they see what it does, when they see what it does on people's life, when they see the changes it brings forth, suddenly they want it. And when they want it, it's a question of asking. He didn't say how long, that's another story in itself. But they ask, he said, how much more shall the Father give? So we have two things, ask and he gives. Ask and he gives. The Holy Ghost comes upon them. Now, you ready for point two? Did we get that? Did I make a point? What was it? I made the point. Okay, the Holy Spirit coming down upon us. What is this inheritance that the Holy Ghost was sent to us to begin to unfold? Remember, we're at the roof now, so forget everything that was below it. At roof level. At roof level, Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterwards, this was the Old Testament, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, I'm sorry. That I will pour out my Spirit upon a few select ministers and their sons and their daughters. Is that the way it goes? Am I making another point here? What's the point I'm making? All flesh. All flesh. Where? Upon. Think roof. Upon. Why is the Holy Ghost sent to us to come upon us? Because part of our inheritance is to be able to minister. Part of our inheritance is to be able to prophesy, to dream spiritual dreams, and to see visions. That's why the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Now notice the words here, son and daughters. Again, the mature ones. It said, my Spirit shall come upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
shall prophesy. Look, when the prophetic mantle is here, it is so hard pressed to get you to do anything, to speak anything, to say anything. Why? When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he said, later on we'll look at speech, but he takes and he speaks through you. Something happens when he comes upon us. There is an empowerment to speak that which is divine. There is an empowerment for our eyes to see into the spiritual world, because it's spiritually discerned and only the Spirit can discern it. But he gives it to those upon whom he comes. It is worth seeking for. It is worth having. And before you ever leave this world, you can have this. He wasn't speaking of heaven here. I know it's heavenly, but he wasn't speaking of heaven. You can come into it here while in the world. The Spirit of the Lord is given to us and comes upon us. Now I'm going to read you the last part of the scripture I read to you a moment ago, which is Acts 2:18. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, this is a quote from here, will I pour out in those days my Spirit, and it says, and they shall prophesy. And they shall prophesy. You have to know that. Now, I'm going to read to you out of the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel, and beginning in the 5th verse. After that, he was saying, Samuel was saying to Saul, just after he anointed him as king, he said, after that you will come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistine is, and it shall come to pass that when thou art come hither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and with a tabret and with pipe and harp. They were singing, that there is a music of the anointing, that the presence of the anointing for them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. God wasn't making him a prophet. One thing, the office of a prophet is one thing, and prophesying is another. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit from that office, rests upon us, and in the empowerment of that Spirit, you prophesy. Now, I want to tell you one thing right here, right now. We started with the roof, I know, but let me go back, because I think we need to know a little bit about it right now. And that is, it's one thing for the indwelling, constant being Spirit there, and it's another one, the Spirit comes upon you. The Spirit didn't come upon Samson all day long and drive him crazy, so he had so much energy, he jumped around like a spastic. It only came upon him in the moment of need, the crucial moment. When he was at the pillars, the temple came down. When he was in battle, they slew him before him. The Spirit of the Lord didn't throw Philistines down under the power for people to look at how great God was. He did it when Jonathan showed up and stood up before him. The whole army fell under the power, and he said that his armor bearer walked around cutting their heads off. It's easy to fight that way. But I want to tell you one thing. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jonathan. And when Jonathan stood up in the midst of the Philistines, the Spirit of the Lord went out among them. But the Spirit of the Lord didn't dwell upon the Philistines. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them and slew them under the power. Now, I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us isn't an everlasting, ongoing thing, but once it does, it always will, and it's just waiting for the moment of need, the moment when it needs to be, and the moment when there needs to be a channel. And that's when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Many times I'm telling you, I'm feeling such an anointing. Well, that's because 5 minutes before I wasn't. And when it's there, why shouldn't I tell you? It's there. Get ready, because something's going to happen. That's why I tell you, not so that you know what happens with me, because none of your business. In fact, if you had the Spirit, you'd know. Amen? So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, not in an indwelling way. That's when he's in you. But when he comes upon us in specific ways, but it's very powerful, it's very glorious, and in fact, it can be so often you think it's always there, because you can be instant in season and out of season at any given moment. I mean, you could stop to ask somebody directions and suddenly the Holy Ghost, you feel that anointing on you, and you start talking to God, and it's going to happen. It's the Word of the Lord that's coming through you. Now, we're not talking about people that get converted and run around the earth. Well, converted, that's in quotes already. And run around telling people about Jesus and that they need to be converted and all. That busybodying is fine. That's great. God allows it. It's great. It does a thing. But then God has to go and by His Spirit do something in that man that this little child, because of his little infant faith, went out and did and didn't have the slightest clue what he was doing. We're talking about people endued from power on a high. And that didn't just happen on Pentecost, on a few apostles and disciples, because if not, Paul wouldn't have said to these people whom we went to in another country and nation, have you received the Holy Ghost and prayed for them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to prophesy. They were heathens. If I got it right. Peter, the same story, when he went and the Lord showed him a sheet out of heaven, you remember that? That was people that are outsiders. What are they doing with the Holy Ghost on them? They believed in the baptism of Jesus Christ, and when they came into Jesus Christ, they were filled with the Spirit, and it didn't take 50 years either. But God said, I've heard those prayers, I've seen those alms, I've seen the works. They preceded them. He said, go now, I want to fill them with my Spirit. The work went on before. And so God sent His Spirit to them. Please understand this. In Acts 19:6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, again the record of it, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and prophesied. I'd read to you just before from Acts 2:18. This is Acts 19:6. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they began to speak with tongues, and they began to prophesy. You see, that prophetic word isn't just reserved for ministers. We can come into that anointing. Many times that anointing is here. When that anointing comes here, it doesn't come just for me. The anointing comes upon the body. It's for the edification of the body. But whomever the Spirit is appointed to rest upon, they now can prophesy. And you can too at any moment. Seek for it. It's worth seeking for. That is part of our inheritance. To be able to lift up in the world of the Spirit and the knowledge of the Spirit and speak. Just like you do through gifts of knowledge or understanding or wisdom, which you are given by God. You open your mouth and this wisdom is coming out. You say, man, how wise this guy is. No, it's the Holy Ghost. That's upon you. It's the wisdom from above. You're not hearing directions from a man. You're hearing directions from God because the Holy Ghost rests upon that man. Or comes upon that man with a choice of words. And so, we're looking at now this point, the Holy Ghost coming upon us for the purpose of prophesying. The Holy Ghost comes upon us for the purpose of spiritual dreams. Now, it was the Holy Ghost that was upon Mary, and they began to see in their dreams at night when the angel appeared to them and said, take this son and move to another country, for Herod has it out for his life. Now, that was a dream that wasn't just that he had too many potatoes to eat the night before. This was an angelic visitation perceived by a guy, by a human being that wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a king, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't anything that I know of but a carpenter, And the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, for it rested upon that home from the moment Mary conceived. Said, the Holy Ghost shall come, what? Upon you. And the power of the Almighty One shall rest upon you and perform this thing which I have spoken unto you. Under that canopy of the Holy Ghost upon them, they dream spiritual dreams. Peter, on the day of the Lord, while he was praying, the Holy Ghost comes upon him and he sees a vision. He didn't see a vision playing golf. Because he had written down the score he saw in the vision. Look, this isn't a mystical thing. This is a very practical and very real thing. The Holy Ghost comes upon us. Now notice something. When we get back into the background to build this up, you're going to discover that the Holy Spirit was given to us as the earnest of our inheritance to build us. Everything He's doing and everything He's done up to the roof level is for us. Now, of course, because we've started at the roof, we're talking about the Holy Ghost resting upon us for the purpose of others. It's now no longer for you, but for others. You say, well, how can God do something through you that's only for others? Well, you are part of the body too, so obviously it's going to do something in you. But what it does is develop you in God. Do you know how many things I've learned as it's come through to you? Do you mean things? How many things I've found out as I've said them to you? When the Holy Ghost rests upon me, we all find out. You can feed off of it too. Sometimes I'm too busy to. Sometimes it's just too much flowing out there. But if nothing else, you have to walk in obediences. There's always a price, you know. And the prices you pay along the way and the obediences develop you. They're inward developments. Until later on the Spirit rests upon you in such nuances of His sensitivities, and you can capture them. It's just a thought. Sometimes it's just a will that He thought within Himself, and you're already ready to perform it, first of all, because you heard it. You perceived it. Now, you have to be sensitive to perceive a desire in the heart of the Spirit. When you first start out, it's like, prophesy, you sucker! God, is that you? It was the sucker part that confuses me. You relate to that. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, it's very crude in its initial form, but you develop into it. But we can prophesy. Now, you can prophesy without the Holy Ghost too, and that's what I've tried to avoid in this church. And perhaps we've avoided it so much that now, when it comes to this other, you're afraid even to go into it. But I get sick and messed and bent out of shape when 50 people have to do their thing and the Holy Ghost hasn't even come into the meeting yet. And the reason why it doesn't, because they won't shut up. And the moment they do, He comes. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, if we gave the liberty for you to do it and feel like you're something, man, I'll tell you what, every last one of you, the little children, be standing up saying, thus saith the Lord. And giving us all these nice little things to do and being keep entertained with. Goodness my. No, that's not what we're talking about. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Let me tell you another thing, too. Many times we have had, in fact, Friday night was one of them, the Spirit, the anointing of prophecy was upon us. Now, it hasn't been for quite a while. It used to be every other service years ago in Jonesboro and when we first moved down here, if you'll recall. But this Friday, the mantle, in fact, we hadn't sung the Song of the Lord for a year, if I recall, too, and it's just the last few services. But in that Song of the Lord, the flowing, that's what the minstrels there are. That's what playing the harp back there in Samuel's day, back there in Saul's day. He said, you'll see these prophets coming down, and there's that Song of the Lord. There's that atmosphere of the anointing, and the spirit of prophecy is there. He said, the moment you get into that spirit of prophecy, you're going to start to prophesy. Now, that was the Spirit of God upon them. Now, let me tell you, He doesn't build a nest in your hair so that you feel this tingling in your head. Friday night, the Holy Ghost came down upon us, but only I prophesied. Only Dad spoke the will of the Lord. Now, all of us could. In fact, many of us should have. Because the Holy Spirit had already descended upon us. It's not like, hey, this is a special thing for you. You're going to see lightning spark and all the same, and it's such a glorious experience that your eyes are open. You see the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove, and His little beak is saying to you, prophesy what I'm saying. Repeat after me. And you see this beak going up. Folks, it's not like that. The same Spirit that Saul perceived upon the prophets was here on Friday night. But there weren't too many prophesying. But there's many that could have. Because we need to enter into that place where when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we recognize that He comes upon us, not just me or him or somebody else. He comes upon us. Any one of us at that moment when the Holy Spirit is there can speak. And when you spoke and you dare to speak, then out of that, if I can give you an imagery, if there is a river up above, anyone who reached up and touched and became a channel for it, that river would flow through you and out to someone else. Meanwhile, the river stays up there blessing nobody. It's just up there. It's upon you. The only way it can come down into this world is through a channel. And so when I reached up and touched into that world, it came through me to you. And it was wonderful, just like Dad did, reached up into that world and brought that word down to us. Now, that was here for all of us. There could have been any number of us pulling out of that river. Do you think that if all of us had, we'd have exhausted the river? Of course not. But certainly a lot more would have been spoken. You say, well, how can you add to what Robert did? Robert didn't do it. It's the river that did. It's you that can. It's the Holy Ghost coming upon it as something worthy to see. Because your life can never become a blessing until it becomes a channel for the Holy Ghost to flow through. It's like we sing, Holy Spirit, flow through me. But what we are saying is that I become a channel. When the Holy Ghost comes on me, it comes for the purpose of prophesying. You want to still go on? All right? I want to give you an example of Jesus in Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, upon whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he brings forth judgment to the heathen. Now, we have such a misconstrued idea of what judgment is. We're not talking here about judgment to sin, or because we've sinned, or judgment to the sin of these people. We're not talking about that kind of judgment, judgment on a nation because they've erred and because they've sinned and because they rebelled. That isn't the judgment we're speaking of. To give you an idea of what judgment I'm speaking of, I'm going to go to John chapter 12, verse 31, the gospel of it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast down. When God said he would make judgment or do judgment, he always came to set the captive of Zion free, to take the devil and the devourer and the one that put him in prisoner, take him out and let his people be free. When God does judgment, it's not the judgment of calamity. It's the judgment where God does justice. The prince of the air has been done in. And justly, he takes his prisoners unjustly. Our sins have been forgiven. What's he doing taking his prisoner? God sends the order for him to develop us, but then he gets the zap at the end. No hard feelings on my part. In John 16, verse 8, and when he is come, that is the Spirit of the world, the Spirit of the Lord, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not. He's going to reprove them because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and remain in their sins. Of righteousness, because he went to the Father, but they refused to see his righteousness in us as the saints that are on this world. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. When the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus, he began to perform judgment on the earth and setting his captives and his people free and putting captivity into captivity. The one who puts people into captivity himself. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's when God's doing judgment for his people. He said that he would be as one with a sword that treads the winepress. He tread it alone. He said his garments were spotted with blood, not ours, his. He is the one that goes forth and does vengeance and justice upon those that are oppressed. So for the purpose of this judgment is the Holy Ghost come upon us. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we find ourselves setting the captive free. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you have words of authority that you speak, and those who are your captors must set you free. That's it. No questions asked. Now you stand in the flesh without the Holy Ghost upon you, without his power over you, without the empowerment and the authority of his Spirit in which you then stand, only then, in that anointing. And you come out of heaven with that anointing, and you speak that word, it has to be. But out of it, you could declare until your tonsils came out of your mouth and throat. And nothing's going to change. Because it's his word, not ours. But listen to this. It's his words that are heard through our mouth. And when they are, they're as effective as when it said, let there be light. Because it's the same source, the same God, the same power, the same Spirit that went forth into the invisibles and created the lights of the world in one instant of time. He is the power to bring it forth. The Son is the doer and the Father is the originator. You have to understand now that when we're speaking of these things, all these wonderful things are for us. God's giving these to us. He wants us to come into that place where the Holy Ghost descends upon us to bring judgment. God has His Spirit come upon us, now we're going on, for our empowerment. That doesn't mean that you have more power than you had before. It means that you're given the power to do what He asks you to do. It's not, Lord, how can I do this? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it will be done. It shall be done. It's that power of God to bring it forth. Folks, we need this power. We need for the Holy Ghost to come upon us afresh, anew. Like on Friday night, we were asking the Lord. And His power flows through us. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Every time the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that power works. It's the same power under which you're slain by the Spirit. It's the same power by which you have those sensations in your body that are heavenly, whether it's tingling or whether it's a flowing anointing or whatever it is. It's that same power that sets you free from the bondage of sin. It's that same power that goes in and anoints. It's that same power that heals. It's that same power. It's that same power that even flows through a word, a given word at that moment, and man, it goes in like a sword. Sometimes it goes in like a bomb and just explodes. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, notice something that happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon us and we receive power. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I think this works two ways, but I won't dwell on this. I'm just going to stop here and throw it out for you. I think just like the devil accuses us before the throne, or maybe used to, probably still does. I think that we are witnesses unto Him. We go from heaven and bring our causes. You know how many times I've said to the Lord, from this world, as you rise to that world, I become a witness of what's happening down here. Moses did. He said, Lord, down there, there's these things going on there. We are a witness of what things are down here, the needs that are in people's hearts, the things that are happening, the power that there is, the needs that are around. We're not talking about ourselves now. We're talking about the condition around us. And we are witnesses unto Him of that which happens here. And conversely, we are witnesses of Him to those that be down here. We who go into the presence of the Lord can come down here and witness what it is He's saying and what's happening up there that's going to happen down here and announce it before it happens. Like you've heard me do so many times. Come down here and announce to you what's going to happen. And 5 minutes later it happens, or half an hour later it happens. You say, well, how'd you know? Because I've been there. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Ye shall be witnesses. And so I'm a witness to you of what He said, of what He said would happen, of what's going to happen. I'm a witness to you. On the other hand, I'm a witness to Him. And then, lastly, I'd want to put the emphasis on the word be. He didn't say do. He didn't say they'd go out there and witness. He said they'd be a witness. So when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we become a witness. We are the witness, not what we do. We are the witness. Our life is the witness. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, our life becomes the witness. We are the witness. Unto Him, we are the witness. But let's go on, because it's really not part of our subject. In Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame of Him throughout all the region about. Why? Because He returned in what? In His own power? Doing His own works? He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now I'm going to go back to Acts 1:8. I'm going to read it through and stop on one word. I forgot the emphasis of this one. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon. Thank you. But I said it first. You. You. ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's what God wants us to hear. That's what he wants us to know. That his power, his spirit, is given to us for the purpose of that power. We're not talking about the power to overcome sin and the power that is when the spirit is dwelling in us, upon us. It has to do for other people. It has to do with our lives being involved with the Lord. You still want to go on? We can stop anywhere here. Let's go with one more. The Holy Spirit is upon us to work miracles, healings, and gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. You see, we covered this. And to another, discerning of spirits. And to another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to, we cover this. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the same self Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, that is, the Holy Spirit wills, for the edification, for the lifting up of what? The body. It's not for you. God doesn't give us a gift of miracles so people can see how great you are and you must have earned it by something that was wonderful in you. He gives it to us. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and we are empowered and given gifts. I had never noticed, I was reading today in the Daily Light, I hadn't realized the connection between Jesus Christ having ascended to the Father to receive gifts from men. That part I'd always registered, but I didn't register that it connected with this. That he, that is God, might dwell among us. And the gifts that he has received for us, that he has given us, is for the preparation and the building up of the body, which in its end result, as we have covered already in this series of inheritance, is to become the dwelling place of God here on earth. He himself having gone above to receive the gifts. And that's what I wanted to bring out to you. And that is, when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, you have to go up to receive that. He ascended on high to receive gifts on men. We have to ascend on high. We, not like he did in a physical form, but we in the spirit have to seek and have to find and have to go up into that spiritual world, touch through and come down with the answers down here for a dying world. Smith Wigglesworth used to do that. He wasn't worth two bits on his own, but he'd start to pray. He'd have a dead person before him, and he'd start to pray. And he'd pray and pray and pray and pray until suddenly he was lifted up and he'd touched heaven. When the moment he touched heaven, he came back down to earth with that mighty word of God, live! And those dead people just came out of it. But he went up first. It is for everyone. It is for everyone. You may not have my gifts, I may not have yours, but there are gifts for you. There are gifts for you. So how does he do it? And this is what I want to end with. Not because we've ended with the subject, we'll go on with it. The Holy Ghost comes upon you every time you ask. He says, Lord, we ask that your presence come upon every person that's here. He asks. A son asks, how much more than shall the Father give a son who asks? For the prayer of the righteous availeth much. I want you to know that it's not a one-time thing where you bend your knee and you fight through heaven and the Pentecostal experience, glory to God, now I have power. Well, when you touch through and you got through, maybe the first time is the hardest and the longest and the most difficult. But once the Holy Ghost comes upon you, now you learn the way. Go up to the mountain and get it every time. Because there's a world that's dying around you. There's people whom God wants to bless. We can become witnesses. We can grow up to where we can reach through and touch heaven and then become a blessing to another. Sometimes it's just your testimony. Sometimes God's picked you up and lifted you into that world of His presence and His glory, and I've seen you there again and again and again where heaven was on your soul. You reached through, you touched heaven, His glory, His Spirit is upon you. If you but came up and gave a testimony the right way and let the Holy Ghost flow through you, what you said could affect other lives. Look, sometimes you've seen in our services where something you do releases the Spirit to do another bit. And then someone else's obedience, and then another bit. You could only do that when you're in the Spirit. Why? Because it already works. It's not something you need for it to work. It's something that already works, but we're lazy. God wants us to operate in the Spirit. You can call heaven down. We can reach up and touch Him, and once you touch Him, the power on high comes down upon you, not just to bless you and heal you. It will do that while it's at it. But to come and do it and to be a blessing that we might be edified, where all God wants to begin to use your life. Whether it's to prophesy, whether it's to speak that word of wisdom, whether it's to go and love someone, whatever, it's in obedience to the Spirit as He worketh with all in every single one of us. You say, well, I'm not a son yet. Well, you might not have that place in God that someone else has, but you can start where they started. You can start where they started. You ask and He will give. And when His Holy Spirit comes upon you, say, oh, thank you, Lord, I just wanted to feel it for the day. He won't come back the next time. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. And as He does, you can become a blessing. Let me tell you that sometimes, how many times I've asked you, keep singing so that the anointing continues to flow. Don't let it drop. Keep ministering. What you're doing is ministering. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the thing gets done. Doesn't matter who it is. Look, you can be in a car, just driving to work, taking someone to work, and the anointing comes down upon you. When that anointing comes down, it doesn't come to make you feel a tickle so that you'll have energy to work all day long for somebody else or for money or for things that perish. The Holy Ghost comes upon you because that person needs it. And if we would become witnesses, if we would just let the Holy Ghost begin to flow through us, you would be surprised how many things God would do through you. And this isn't a change of orientation from Christ to the world. Because you can have an orientation from me to the world, and that's horizontal. You can have an orientation from you to God, and that's vertical. But the perfect one is the circle, where you go up to God, come back to man, and it comes back to you. Give and it shall be given. And you don't give directly to man, you give to God, it comes back down on man and comes back to you, and the circle is perfect. That's when it works. If you have ears to hear what I just got saying to you, you hear. Because you have to recognize sometimes that an awful lot of what I give you wasn't in my script for starting. You see, God wants us to grow up. The Holy Ghost wants to rest upon us and empower our lives. It's time. It's time we walk. It's time that it could be said of us as it was said of Jesus. He came forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. These people come out of those meetings under the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. When we press through, He will answer. The Holy Ghost, as far as heaven is concerned, has already been given to the saints. The only thing we're talking about here isn't for heaven to release the Holy Spirit. It already happened when Jesus went. When Jesus went into the world, He sent the Holy Spirit to His. As far as heaven is concerned, it's already given to you. As far as you're concerned, you don't have it until you reach out into it and touch it. And once you're in that anointing that rests upon you, it rests upon you for far more than just to bless you or heal you or touch you. It's resting upon you now in that power. He went forth in that power. And things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. When we say touch your people, once again, we're not talking about anybody in this building. With a precious holy hand, we pray. But you know, when He touches them, as we'll find out later, the hand of God was upon the hand. The mighty hand of God was upon the hand of Jacob. So when you touch someone, it's His hand upon yours. It's a marvelous thing. marvelous thing. I just want you to sing it softly to see what directions I get. But I don't feel any lifting of this pressure. It might just stay like this. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand, we pray. Let your kingdom shine upon this earth. To a living, glorious church. Not for temporary works or deeds. To restore authority and power. Ask him. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again.